Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I don't care if you've got a lemonade stand. I don't care if you sell, you know, some supplement to your friends. That's called being an entrepreneur. You probably need help. You probably need a mentor. You probably need somebody to be able to give you some sage advice, not just asking anybody that doesn't have a clue. You know, a buddy of yours, you're golfing, and you're like, hey, man, what do you think of this? That's just asking a friend. Sage advice is somebody who is in that field, who has been there and done that, who is way out ahead of you, that can turn back and look at you and go, here, friend, let me give you a hand and help you up, right? They're helping you up out of that space that you're in because they know what to do. Don't you wish that you could, you know, for your children, for me, a perfect example, my kids, my youngest is 20 and my oldest is 31, and I want to be able to give each one of them a hand up, a leg up, but I also don't want to stop them from the learning experiences that they need, the failures that they need to have to be able to understand with great clarity when they finally hear the answer. They have the aha moment and go, that's exactly what I need to do. I get it, because I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of making that same mistake over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. But I get no different outcome. And that's what Einstein said was insanity, I think. Anyway, our guest today, George Black, he's an author, he has a book, Dear Mr. A, and he's about to rename it. We're going to talk about that with him right now. George, welcome to the show. First of all, tell us about Dear Mr. A, because I have a feeling this is kind of like what I just described. It's like almost like writing a letter to yourself, to a younger version of you. Maybe you could tell us about Dear Mr. A, and then you're about to relaunch the book with a new name. So let's talk about it.
That's right, Alan, and thank you for having me. The reason I wrote the book is exactly what you were describing. I've been working with entrepreneurs since 1992. I come from the financial side of thinking, but in developing strategy, I kept realizing if more entrepreneurs knew this, their lives would be so much easier.
Right.
And having the right strategy is absolutely key. Well, how do you know you have the right strategy? What is the right strategy? It depends on you. So you got to know you. And hence, I came up with this strategy process called the Next Level Navigator, used it with companies, and was finding it great success, and realized I want more entrepreneurs to know this. I love entrepreneurs. And if I can make their lives easier, that's what I want to do.
Hmm. Kind of like Simon Sinek, the author of Know Your Why, you know. It's like you have to know who you are and know why you want to do what you want to do. And having good entrepreneurial, how do I say this, somebody who you can ask the questions to. A good friend of mine says to me one time, he says, I said to my mom, Mom, I think I'm going to go into the internet business. I've got this, that, and the other. And you know what his mother said? That internet thing is going to be a fad. Don't waste your time. Now, his mother loves him, right? She loves him. That was her opinion. That was her advice. It just happened to be completely wrong. He went on and made like $100 million in the internet business. Thank God he didn't listen to her. All right, we'll take a little break. When we come back, maybe we can talk about some of this stuff that you are talking about right here, about being able to have all these letters to be able to help entrepreneurs. As George Black says, he loves entrepreneurs. He wants to help them. I love entrepreneurs too. I want to help too. We'll take a little break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't go anywhere.
Get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you're listening listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, check out Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere, entrepreneur.com. On the web, you can find this podcast. This is actually a radio show that is then converted into a podcast, but you can find this radio show, a.k.a. podcast, at entrepreneur.com. Our guest right now is George Black, his book, about to be renamed. We're going to talk about this because I love the fact that he's taking his own advice. His book is Dear Mr. A, okay? And the thing is about this book, George, along the way you're thinking, man, it contains so much good stuff. Why is it not doing as good as I want it to do? Maybe the name wasn't great in the description of what is Dear, because I remember thinking, what is Dear Mr. A? And there's always more to it, but man, that hook, right? So it's a marketing thing. You can have the best product in the world, poorly marketed, doesn't get out, doesn't sell, doesn't do what it should do. So you take your own advice. You went to I think you told me in the commercial break there, like a mastermind group. Go ahead. Tell us the story.
Sure. So it's a mastermind group for authors. I'm a first-time author, and a couple of best-selling authors were there visiting with the group, and one of them said my title was confusing, and I'm going, that's not good. So the book is letters from a young entrepreneur to a seasoned entrepreneur, and he's getting sage advice. Ooh. And it's like one thing to get advice. It's another thing to follow the advice. Ooh. So I followed the advice. This was sage advice. And so we're retitling the book. The working title right now, and I think this will probably be close to it, will be The Next Level Entrepreneur. Find direction in your passions and build a great company.
There you go.
Because that's what happens. If you follow the processes in this book, amazing things will happen. And it's not just some promise. I've used this process with companies and have seen it work.
Well, what is the number one thing you might hope that a reader would get out of this book?
I would hope that they tie into their passions first, because I feel like our passions are what fuel us in life, and they actually fuel us to achieve success. And if you can monetize some aspect of what you're passionate about, then that's the best of both worlds, because you're doing something you love and you're making a living at it, and that's sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Well, in all your years, then, you said you've been working with entrepreneurs side by side. I understand you're kind of a outsourced chief financial officer, and you work with them to make sure that they don't, you know, entrepreneurs always run ahead of their money. But in all these years, what is the most common thing that they're missing and the one thing that would help them most?
I think it's good strategy, because as a CFO, when I come alongside them, I'm like, where are you headed? And if I know where you're going, I can drive all the financial metrics, everything in that direction. If it's vague, it's just like trying to shoot at a target that you can't see in the fog. It's really hard to hit. Mm-hmm. And that's where I developed this process, the Next Level Navigator strategic process that I came up with, was to begin to help entrepreneurs see where they're going. And oftentimes the answers are inside of them. It's not, you just got to figure out a way to draw it out. And that's what the process really does.
You have a website also, livetrulyfree.com. Yes. Livetrulyfree.com. Tell us about the website.
Sure. So my next level is where I've worked for years one-on-one with entrepreneurs. This is moving me to my next level, which is to work one with many entrepreneurs. So that's what this website's about. In fact, Alan, if your listeners will go to that site, they can receive a free sample of the current titled book, Dear Mr. A, and it's called The Dreams to Success Guide. It's right there on the homepage. You can click onto it and download it.
It's so funny. If I just for a moment step back and I think to myself, you know, the one mistake that I've made in my life. My wife is my business partner. She's my life partner. We've been together 38 years.
Right? Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. And we have, you know, this wonderful family, lots of kids and a couple of grandkids and just so much cool stuff going on. So what did I do? I made her the CFO right away. I'm like, all right, You're the CFO. Let's go. Let's roll, right? She's not passionate about stuff that I'm doing because it's my work. She's just taking care of the money. You know, it's my passion. She's following her husband, good loving wife that she is. And yes, she should have probably punched me in the neck along the way a few times. But that wasn't her specialty. That wasn't her passion. But she did a good job. Along the way, I realized I probably should have had somebody like you that is a professional CFO that could give me all the things that I needed to properly chart and guide me along the path of being an entrepreneur in business. And so I got to the point to where just recently I said, listen, I want every week I want to have a complete kind of listing of where we are with the money in the company and what we owe and who owes us. And ever since I started doing that weekly, you know, man, I got to tell you, it changed my life. And I think to myself, man, I went a long way without having that weekly map. I was using an abacus, George, an abacus, you know, sliding. All right. When we come back, you're going to give some advice to entrepreneurs like me, because I'm an entrepreneur. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar and spice. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor, Entrepreneur Magazine on the web, entrepreneur.com. Just all things entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are different kind of people. You can be, a house flipper, house painter, car guy like me. I've always been a car guy. I was talking to George in the commercial break. George Black is our guest. And I said, you know, it's like being an entrepreneur is like driving a race car. It's like you've got this Cheshire cat grin. You're laughing. You're going down the racetrack, and you're like, this is so much fun, until you go into the corner too hot, and you go right off the racetrack. And that's been me so many times. And I'm a big car guy. I even know how to race and drive, and I'm a fast driver. But, man, it's like you got to go off the road every now and then to go, all right. I got to really take a driving school, a performance driving school, not just a normal driving school where I learn how to back up and park, but I mean how to drive fast, because entrepreneurs are moving fast. I like to be, in my life, the guy who is in the trenches with the people I'm talking to. I'm the workaday Joe. I'm like you guys listening. And I make mistakes. I am, like George said, I'm driven by passion. I love what I do. This is one of the things I do, this radio show. One, I'm a crazy car guy, too. I work with all the biggest car companies in the world. I have another radio show called The Drive, oddly enough, with Alan Taylor. You can check that out. I'm a complete maniac car guy. But we all need to have people to mentor us and people to teach us and to be there and walk with us. And I think that's what George Black does. He's a outsourced chief financial officer, and his book is about to be renamed The Next Level Entrepreneur, Finding Direction in Your Passions and Build a Great Company in the Process, in essence, right? So
that's right.
It's time for you. We got about 4 or 5 minutes in this segment left. You can help to give us some advice. I don't know where you want to read right out of the book. You want to give us a chapter. You want to give us some biblical stuff. It's all yours starting right now, George. Go for it.
In Dear Mr. A, like I said, it's a young guy named Max is writing Mr. A letters. And Mr. A writes Max back a letter. And the letter's titled Ready, Fire, Aim. And he explains to Max in this letter is that for most entrepreneurs, they operate with a ready, fire, aim approach.
Right.
And occasionally they hit the mark. And their solution is to just shoot more. Now, here's the reality. The reality is that all of us have a certain amount of resources. We only have so many dollars, so many hours, so many whatever, and eventually we're going to run out of resources. So Mr. A recognizes that, and he introduces Max to a revolutionary concept, ready, aim, fire. Now, it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek and having a little fun with it, but essentially the whole concept is to shoot less and hit more. So what he coaches Max in is pause. Don't just race off and start your next entrepreneurial thing. Let's put together a next level navigator. Let's put together your strategies. Let's look at the obstacles. Let's solve those obstacles with strategies and have a really clear target of where we're going. And so that's where Mr. A goes with that. And being with my CFO background and things like that, I look at things very practically. So I'm not just looking at high-flying strategies that are not tied to anything in reality. Right. What this process does and what I want to do with an entrepreneur is, yes, I want you out there visioning big time. But I want to bring that vision all the way down to what's the first action you're going to take tomorrow morning.
Right. You know, it's interesting listening to you. You heard my story how it took me years and years and years before I actually asked my wife, my CFO, to give me a weekly report so I could start my week knowing where I was financially. Because entrepreneurs, we are incredibly faithful human beings. We have not only faith in ourselves, but faith in something greater than ourselves to, you know, move us on to that next level. We're climbing. We want to get to the top, and we're climbing, and we're going to keep climbing. Hold on, you know, even when there's nothing left in you, like Rudyard Kipling's poem, except the will that says to hold on, you know? And so all I can say is that, you know, it's like we're also very, very stubborn. So I wish you the best of luck with the relaunch of your book.
Thanks.
And people can find out more about it at your website, livetrulyfree.com, livetrulyfree.com. And I think at the end of the day, we all want to help each other. I mean, I think that is the human nature, is that we want to see each other succeed. There's a dark side of us that love to see failure in our enemies. But even, you know what it says to love your enemy. And the reality is that people in our lives that have been cruel to us and that say, you know, you can't make it, you know, when you start to make it, there's a side of you that wants to go, see, I made it. But then there's another side of you that says, no, nope, don't be boastful, don't brag, because then your blessings get taken away. So I think at the end of the day, when you see that person that told you you could never make it, because this is another thing entrepreneurs face all the time, they're going to come face to face with that person that told them, ah, you're going to waste all your money, you're going to be a failure. That's when the time is for you to find humility and be humble and reach out your hand and say, hey, good to see you. And to have them say, how's it going? And you say, great. We've been really having some, you know, good times. And I think that's really important, too, is to make sure that we make sure that there's humility in our lives along the way. All right. Thank you. And that's Living Truly Free, by the way, because once you get rid of all those judgments and the anger and all the things that are part of what fuels us as entrepreneurs is like, I'm going to show that guy, right? Oh, geez. But you want to be free from that stuff. LiveTrulyFree.com. George Black, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Great advice.
Thank you so much, Alan.
All right. There's more on the other side. Yes, I just pontificate loosely. I hope you guys track with me. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses. Well, if you're an entrepreneur, you're tuned into the right spot on the dial, or you're listening to the right podcast. You know, I was thinking this morning, before I got out of bed, I thought, man, you know, it's coming. Tough times are coming. If you're having the best time of your life right now, you better make sure you plan, you think. You better make sure there's plan B, plan C, maybe D, E, and F as well, because it's coming sooner or later. It's going to hit you. And so today we have some top productivity hacks from Sean Burns. He's the co-founder and CEO of Outlier AI Incorporated. Sean, first of all, tell us about what is Outlier AI?
at Outlier, we're trying to use artificial intelligence to help companies deal with all that data they have today. We talk about data coming out of all sorts of systems and software in the cloud. But really, what do you do with all that data? How do you turn it into a competitive advantage? And that's what we're doing. We use AI to create a virtual analyst, a virtual business analyst that looks through all that data and gives you the kinds of insights that you'd need to hire an army of people to find in these mountains of data. It's right. exciting. It's the kind of thing that really has come home in the last few years.
Well, it's good, and I think we all need to be more productive. What happens is, I think, for folks that are doing well right now, we start to get, I don't know, we start to get fat. We start to, you know, get comfortable and think, you know, tough times are never going to get me. I've got it all figured out. You know, it's I start buying nice cars, bigger houses, more stuff. You know, but we're not really thinking about that rainy day that's going to come, that storm that's going to hit, the tree that's going to fall on your business, whatever it might be. So you better start to be more productive and start to save a little more, people. So let's talk about some of these top productivity hacks. And, you know, all I can say is right now I'm in that place. I mean, I think we all get there sooner or later. I've been kind of fat. I look at pictures of me and I go, man, I was fat. Not only was I, you know, I was lazy, but I never thought I was lazy. I was the hardest working guy in the world, but I'm going to say I was lazy on the inside and very productive and very, you know, busy on the outside, but lazy on the inside because I think I got into the comfort zone where I thought, you know, I can do no wrong, or I'm so well set right now that it ain't ever going to affect me ever again. I've got it figured out. And guess what? You know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? So, anyway, but I think
so right.
And then
that's
when,
so right.
when tough times come, you know, you better have like another plan or I have like in my notes on my phone, I have a whole bunch of little hacks that I save so that when I finally hit that space of, oh, shiznit, if you know what I mean, I look back and I go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, here's some hacks. Because, I mean, it's like when the thing happens, a storm hits, sometimes you're like, oh, my God, I don't even know what to do. So anyway, looked at some of the hacks you
have. All those bad habits come to the surface, right? All those bad habits that you learn when everything hits the fan, that's when they come out. So if you don't try to develop good habits up front before that storm hits you, it's not like you can do it in the midst of the storm, man. It's too difficult to do it. You're absolutely right.
All right. Well, here's some notes. We got some fantastic notes. Where do you want to start?
Can we start with why I think productivity is interesting?
Yeah.
Because I think that's important. It's funny because when I went to grad school many years ago and I developed a really bad habit of confusing productivity with the number of hours I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of haunted me for the first half of my career. I thought that, okay, to be more productive, I work more hours. And you wake up one day in the middle of my first company and I was working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I was burning myself out.
Woo-hoo.
And was I being more productive? No, I wasn't. I was actually becoming less productive over time, but I was working more hours and I felt like if my productivity slipped, you know what I do? Work more hours. And then at some point, you just run out of hours in the week. There's no more hours to work. And I was like, listen, there's something going on here. And I read a really interesting study that was done about productivity in terms of like how much can you get done, what can you think about, how much can you do. And all the studies show that like, you know, every day you have 2 hours of peak productivity, 2 hours. Doesn't matter what you do. You get a good night's sleep, you eat well, you exercise, you have 2 hours of peak productivity. And that was like an aha moment. I was like, man, I've been doing this wrong. Instead of working on the hours, I should be optimizing those productivity time that I have to get more out of those 2 hours, those 3 hours that I'm going to be at peak productivity. And my whole world was upside down. The whole way I thought about working and productivity changed. And I started to really study what I was doing. And that all these tips that I came up with were things that were essentially from that realization that, wow, I need to shift my thinking 180 degrees and go back to basics. So let's think about what it takes for me to be productive during a short period of time and just not give myself the luxury of having a lot of hours. And you know as well as I do, once you have kids, you kind of are forced to do that, right? Your kids, they need attention. You can't just work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so through all that came a lot of these things, which should work for some people, not for others. But that's how I came to all this stuff. And I know that you and I agree on that. You do this for too long, I think you wake up and realize all the bad habits you had along the way. And hopefully you realize them before it's too late, right?
Well, you know, and here's what happens. At some point, you finally wake up to what you've been doing to yourself and your family. And sometimes it's too late. Now, I've been married a long time. I've actually been with my wife 37 years, married 32 of those years.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. That's a productivity hack in and of itself right there.
Man, I'll tell you what. Well, I mean, the first 5 years we went out, it was like, all right, let's make sure we do this once, because I didn't want to just jump into something, right? So
that's right.
I think I was kind of smart in the beginning, but then we started popping out kids like crazy, you know, and it was like, all right, the more kids I got, the harder I got to work. And then I started doing what you just said. I was working my, can't say it off, you know what I mean? And what happened is then everything became work. I'm like, let's go on vacation. I've got a job I can do in Florida. You know, like, so I would go to Florida, and it was, you know, I'd go and do something there, and they're like, where's Dad? He'll be back. He had to go do a job. So I think we can also work ourselves literally out of a family, which is the most important thing in your life, is your family. So these hacks are going to be important. All right, let me do this. I want to take a little break, come back, and we're going to get people. Hey, guys, get yourself a pen and a paper, and let's write these things down, because I'm telling you, you don't want to make the mistakes that a lot of us have made, and then you're going to spend the next half of your life making up for it. That's no fun either. Been there on both sides of it. But also, a storm is coming. Got to have some hacks ready. Got to be more productive every day of your life. And Sean is right. I have like 2 hours of the day where I am in the best mood for, like, I was going to say all day long, but it's only like 2 hours. Then I start coming off of that, and then I want to go home and crawl into a hole. We're going to find out the hacks to make you more productive. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
We're talking to Sean Byrne, CEO and co-founder of Outlier AI Incorporated, and we'll give you the website for them on the way out so you can be ready with your pen and paper. But we're talking about top productivity hacks, because, you know, no matter who you are, when you're all by yourself, you can be honest for a couple of minutes and you say, you know what, I'm just a schmuck. Because no matter how smart you are and how much money you have in the bank, you know that at this very moment in time, you have screwed up on something, or you need help or advice on something, and you probably don't have a coach that will say to you, hey, you schmuck, what are you doing? You're working too hard. When you think hard work is going to actually solve the problem, it may not. That's why Sean Byrne is here, going to talk about some top productivity hacks. Take it away, Sean.
Yeah, well, let's start with the most important one, honestly, which is that a lot of people, founders like myself, working really hard, you feel guilty when you're not working. You go to the gym, you feel guilty. You go to sleep at night, you feel guilty. You spend time with your family, you feel guilty because you're not working. You're not getting that next deal.
Yeah, true.
You're not working on that next customer. And that's just toxic, because you need to sleep. You need to exercise. You need to see your family. You need that balance, because that's how you deal with stress. If you can't deal with the stress will get to you and your productivity goes down. So here's my advice. You put exercise, you put sleep on your calendar, just like it's a meeting, just like it's a sales pitch, just like it's a team meeting. Put it on your calendar. Let your team see you doing it, because it's part of your job. Exercising is part of your job. Sleeping is part of your job, because if you do it, you'll do your job better. Making that shift is critical, because all of a sudden now you don't feel guilty when you're exercising, because you're doing your job. Right. You don't feel guilty when you get a good night's sleep, because you're doing your job. These things become part of your life, and then all of a sudden you deal with that stress better. And once you deal with the stress more effectively, you're more productive.
You want to hear what I did? I thought, well, everybody says, you know, you need to exercise. You need to exercise. So I'm like, I don't have time to exercise. So I thought, you know, there was a gym for sale. I bought a gym. I have a 12,000 square foot gym. Do you know I've worked out one time for like 20 minutes before my phone rang and I had to leave because I had an emergency I had to deal with back at the office, right? So I'm like, I've owned it for a year and 13 months, a year and 1 month. And it's like, so yes, I am as guilty as everybody else. We need to hear it over and over and over and over again. And the other thing is, I have a friend who's really healthy, doesn't work out very much, doesn't really eat that well. He looks healthy anyway. Guess what? He calls me the other day and he goes, dude, I'm on blood pressure medication. I have super high blood pressure. I said, you know what? You better start meditating, man. You better get yourself centered. So there's a lot of things like this, you know, but you're right. Sleep and being able to kind of get out of that toxic mode inside your own mind. All right, next.
Oh, it's important. So along that line, it's very common if you're like me, you've been working on something all day, you have a big deal, a lot of pressure, you lie down to go to sleep at night, and you're tossing and turning. You're not actually going to sleep. It's like bouncing around in your head. You're like, man, all these things that I have to get done tomorrow, the things I forgot to do today, and you end up losing out on that sleep time, right? You made time for it. It's on your calendar, but you're not actually sleeping because all these things are bouncing around your head. So my advice is, before you go to sleep, last thing, take a pad of paper next to your bed and write down the three most important things that you need to remember tomorrow, the things you have to do, the things that you didn't finish today. Just get it out of your head on the paper. You'll sleep better because you won't be worried about remembering it. You won't have that anxiety. You'll be like, I wrote it down. It's there. I can pick it up in the morning. And then, by the way, when you wake up the next morning, you don't spend a bunch of time with your coffee trying to remember where to get started. You have your piece of paper. So it's like a bookmark for life, and it means you'll sleep better, and you'll also get a faster start in the morning.
You know what's funny? I just played Sharp Dressed Man was the ZZ Top song I played. The guy that gave me that piece of advice was Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. He says to me, hey, Alan, let me give you a good piece of advice. And he pulls out of his breast pocket a little notepad and a pen. He goes, whenever I have an idea, I write it down, especially at night. He goes, because I have these great ideas at night, and I can't remember them in the morning. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning. I wake up, I write it down, and I go right back to sleep. Isn't that funny? So I happened to play his song, and I'm going to play another one on the way out. All right, next. Wait, give me three.
First, you had to tell me how you got that impression so well. That is amazing. It's like I'm talking to him right now.
I did a show with him for a year. I got him down.
Fair enough.
Give me three.
Okay, cool. So next up, it's really easy to get lost in the work in your office. You're sitting in your office at your desk. Important stuff's going on, and you're hitting the wall, right? And you just can't get through it. And it's very easy to try to force your way through and say, listen, I got to get this done. I have to get this proposal out. I have to write up this document. I just have to do it now. And you just beat your head against the wall. The best way to overcome that is not to kind of force yourself through. This isn't like a marathon. We just grind it out. You change your environment. All the studies show if you just get up out of your chair, off your desk, you go for a walk, you go to a coffee shop, sit down, just change your environment for a second. It helps you think about the problem differently. And you find that instead of spending 2 hours just beating your head against the wall trying to get it done, it'll just flow out of you because your brain is trained to think differently in different environments. And once you change that environment, it unlocks more productivity. So it saves you time, even though it seems like, man, it's a 10-minute walk to the coffee shop. I got to order a coffee. I'll lose hours. I'll lose time. Actually, you'll get things done faster because you won't be sitting there just trying to force it to make it happen.
Okay. Next, I'm writing these down, and I hope you guys are too, but that's the good thing about podcasting.
Yeah.
Listening to the radio show, you can always podcast it too because we do have a podcast. Go ahead.
So this is probably unpopular, but in general, I have a rule where I am not allowed to have mobile games on my phone. And there's a reason. And trust me, I started my career in mobile. I love mobile games, but they're engineered to be addictive. And so I actually have a tablet at home that has all my mobile games on it. I can play it when I'm at home, but I'm at work with my phone. There's no games. There's nothing to kind of like be in the back of my mind distracting me. And it's important because the more distractions you have, the more you're interrupted, the less productive you are.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I don't even play mobile games or any kind of video games at all because you know what? I have such a responsibility being a leader of my company and my family that I cannot take the opportunity to distract myself from with silly games. Now, I want to be outside, you know, if I want to play football with my kids or do something like that, that's different. But those video games, to me, they rot the mind. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with some more top productivity hacks from Sean Burns from Outlier AI Incorporated. We'll be right back. Don't sell me. Entrepreneur? Are you a wantrepreneur? I am a serial entrepreneur. That means, I guess I like cereal. You know, I do like cereal actually, but I don't eat it anymore because I don't drink milk anymore because I'm trying to be healthy. Sean Burns is here with Outlier AI Incorporated. On the web, you can find him at outlier.ai for artificial intelligence. We're talking about top productivity hacks, and I just want to just kind of jump back into them because these are all good so far. So, Sean, back to you, brother.
Absolutely. So this is one of the things that's hardest to, I think, learn is that everybody around you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, they have good advice for you. They have things that they can help you be better at. And we're all really afraid of asking for it. And to be honest with you, I'm at the top of that list. It took me a long time to be confident enough to ask people for what can I do better and really be vulnerable in that way and say, listen, I want to be better. I want to be more productive because my perception of what I thought I was good at, what I thought was productivity and what actually was productivity and useful turned out to be two different things. And so now I actively go out, I ask everybody for feedback, tell me things I can improve, tell me how I get better. And there's such a wealth of knowledge in the people around you every day that it just – it helps. But you have to be able to essentially be humble, ask for feedback, and really take it seriously and not try to defend yourself and justify it.
Well, and remember, everybody, pride goeth before the fall. So – and I've been there, and I think a lot of CEOs of companies, you know, have done these things and fallen onto their knees. And I remember a time when they used to say, well, he's never been out of business. He's never gone bankrupt, so he can't be a good CEO yet because he hasn't learned the hard lessons. So, I mean, I think also we have to realize that we're going to fail. Failure, when you know, it's like that's a weird word because technically you're not trying hard enough. If like when you go skiing, when you're learning how to ski, if you're not falling, you're not trying hard enough. And so falling and failing are, you know, kind of two words that sound similar. They mean the same thing. I fall down in business every now and then, but I got to get back up and go again. That doesn't make me a failure. Give me one last one. And I know there's one that's on the list I talked to you about in the commercial break that you and I are going to fight about. Go for
it. Oh, yeah. We're going to disagree on this one. So here, imagine you've happened to you every day. You're sitting at your desk. You're getting work done. You're in the middle of doing something. Your phone rings. Ah, I interrupted. I answer my phone. I try to get back into it. My phone pings again. Somebody texted me. Okay, great. I put that aside. Do it again. Somebody pings me on Instagram. All of a sudden, my phone is distracting me. I'm supposed to be working on this thing. It's really important. And it keeps interrupting me. And that interrupt rate just kills productivity. So here's my advice is you actually take your phone. You put it on Do Not Disturb. It's that feature that means that it won't ring unless you're looking at it permanently. Your phone does not ring unless you're there looking at it. And here's the reason why. If you're expecting a phone call from somebody, you'll be there at your phone. You don't need it to ring to tell you that person's calling. You're ready for it. But if somebody's going to interrupt you when you're in the middle of working, you have to preserve that attention. You have to work harder. And for me, this has been the number one improvement in my productivity is basically setting my phone on Do Not Disturb permanently. So I use my phone when I want. It doesn't interrupt me my day when I don't want it.
So tell the world what happens before we did this interview. What happened? We were in the commercial break. What happened? Tell them. Go ahead.
You had a phone call, and we jumped off for you to take your phone call in the middle of getting set up to get started here.
You know what? And here's the deal. So I don't know that I could actually survive. I'm one of those guys that if I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, my head would explode because I'm like, oh, I'm missing a call from my dad who's 91. Maybe my mom followed it. She's 88. Maybe my wife's pregnant. She's 55. No, that's not going to happen. My daughter just had a baby. My son, his wife's about to pop. I'm going to get the call. I need to go to the doctor. What about the business that the best client called? And they just said, we can't spend $100,000 with you this year. Oh my God, what's going to happen? We all live in that kind of insanity. So what you're saying is it'll be there one way or the other an hour from now when I go ahead and take the time to check my messages, but I still think my head will explode. What should I do about that?
The advice I got from my very first boss, my very first job, is really important in this case, which is that it's really easy to confuse motion with progress, right? You can be really busy. You can have stuff going on all the time. You can feel really productive because you're just moving around, but you're just moving in place. You're not actually moving forward. You're not making progress. And that being able to shift away from feeling busy and having feeling busy feeling good to having being productive and having being productive feeling good is the most important productivity hack. And so you're right. It requires a lot of mental shifting to let go of it, to realize that I don't have to take that call now. I can take it in an hour and the world's not going to end. Everything will be fine and I can be more productive. That's a mental shift that if you can make it, and it is hard, don't get me wrong, it's tough. But if you can make it, your productivity just shoots through the roof.
Well, I will say I'm watching my sister who is, God bless her, she's a good woman. She doesn't know how to separate herself from all of the insanity that we live in our day. And she's torturing me with questions and thoughts about stuff that's happening with our parents. And sometimes I want to tell her, just chill out. Everything is going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. And everything will be okay. So I think you have to have an element of faith in this whole thing as well. Sean Burns and Outlier.ai is where you can find more information. Sean, thank you so much. Great hacks, brother. Great hacks.
Thanks for having me, man. I hope this was helpful.
It was. I'm Alan Taylor. Hope it was helpful for you as well, because I learned something. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.